The state budget passed by the legislature includes an increase to general school aides, but not all districts are getting more money. It's Wednesday, July 5th. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, a Dane County judge declines to appoint a special prosecutor in the police killing of Tony Robinson, an unarmed black 19-year-old. And researchers at UW-Madison produced the first neutrino image of the Milky Way. We'll tell you more about what that means. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
The Wisconsin state budget includes a historic increase to general school aides, but Corning Hess reports not all school districts will be getting more money in the fall.
Only about 60% of the state's 421 school districts will see an increase in general school aides next year. Jason Stein with the Wisconsin Policy Forum says districts receiving less money in general school aides can increase property taxes to make up the loss.
General school aid loss is a problem because it's a loss of state support. But in terms of their budget, they would have, you know, to some degree, the ability to levy from local taxpayers and still fund education in the community.
General school aid is calculated by property values in the district, enrollment and district spending, as well as what is budgeted by the state. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is introducing a new pilot program to support aging Wisconsinites and people with disabilities. Through the Federal American Rescue Plan Act, the program allocates more than $7,000 in one-time funding to eligible residents in 16 counties across the state. Susan Blodgett is the director of Sauk County's Aging and Disability Resource Center. She says the money will be instrumental to making care more accessible.
Very seldom, and it's rare, for us to have someone call and say, I want to go live in an assisted living. Most people want to stay in their homes as long as possible.
Blodgett says those who do not qualify for long-term care will be referred to an independent living staff member. She says they will launch a soft rollout on July 24th. People who are eligible must earn less than 300% of the federal poverty line, and they must not be enrolled in a Medicaid long-term care program. A Dane County judge has declined to appoint a special prosecutor in the 2015 killing of an unarmed black teenager by a white Madison police officer. Sarah Lear reports.
8 years ago, Dane County's district attorney announced he would not charge Officer Matt Kenny in the death of Anthony Robinson. The DA said the shooting was lawful. A state police investigation concluded Kenny opened fire after Robinson attacked him. But last year, Robinson's grandmother filed a petition asking a judge to appoint a special prosecutor in the case. Circuit Court Judge Stephen Elke dismissed her request on Friday. Elke did not weigh the question of probable cause. Instead, he concluded a judge only has authority to appoint a special prosecutor if specific conditions are met. That includes when a DA has a conflict of interest or when a DA is absent because of sickness, parental leave, or military service. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Researchers with UW-Madison's Ice Cube neutrino detector buried under the South Pole have created the first image of the Milky Way using subatomic ghost particles. It looks like a band of ghostly bluish-white blotches, similar to how the Milky Way looks on a dark night. UW-Madison physics professor and Ice Cube principal investigator Francis Halzen says data shows far fewer neutrinos coming from our galaxy than others far, far away. It's unknown how neutrinos are produced, but Halzen says researchers think they're coming from supermassive black holes cannibalizing their own galaxies.
We are a neutrino desert because our black hole doesn't produce any. And we see this subdominant pattern of cosmic rays interacting with material in the galactic plane.
Halzen credits increasingly powerful machine learning with helping researchers make faster discoveries using the Ice Cube detector. Coming up, we'll hear from a Madison-based cardiologist and writer about a lifelong value he learned from his parents. Stay with us.
If you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you, and you are important to us. We're listener-supported radio, which means we count on money from people like you to make the programs possible. Make your first-ever contribution today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about optimism.
We all learn lessons from our parents: how to cook a traditional family meal, how to have compassion, or how to play an instrument. For Dr. R.F. Ahmed of Madison, his parents taught him about optimism. The writer and cardiologist shares this poem about that lesson.
The Optimist, June 2013, dedicated to my mother Ismat Bano and father Abdul Majid for teaching me optimism. Tough economic times, wars, famine, tsunamis, global meltdown, moral and ethical dehiscence. So is the glass half full or half empty? Enough going on to sap the energies, to drain the enthusiasm. Enough going on to cloud common sense. But wait, it refuses to be a pessimist. It believes in the human will, the human resilience, the human rebound. It believes in the human race to stand up and deliver. Every human being to be counted and ask, how can it better another life? How can it make proud Mother Earth? How can it first do no harm? It is the Good Samaritan. It is the human spirit. It is a dreaming child. The question is, can it become I, we, us yet again?
Dr. R.F. Ahmed shared that writing about optimism, which he wrote in honor of his parents. After recording his poem, he told me a bit more about them.
My mom was a homemaker, and my father was a civil servant. It's interesting, I watched them live optimism. She had cancer, breast cancer, in the 1980s. And it was diagnosed late, and I watched her live her life for years fighting that disease, and with great optimism. It never reflected upon me that she was so sick. And then I saw my father. As an individual, I think he is the most transformed individual I have seen, who rose from the lowest ranks of civil service and kept educating himself till he reached the highest ranks. I have not seen a transformation that wide in one person in their lifetime. So I saw a lot of optimism in their living, and that rubbed off of me.
So why do you think it's important to be an optimist?
For our present and for our future. Just like my parents were optimistic through their struggles for me, I believe, like the piece talks about, a dreaming child, which is a great example of optimism. And I once was. I also believe that we hurt our better future when our policies as adults hurt the children, be it the wars or famine or disease or gun violence. And I sometimes envy about a world where we can make policies and we can agree to act upon things which are good for the children everywhere.
How do you pass optimism onto your children?
So I say two things. One, I can't control what comes at me, but I can control how I respond to it. And two, I'm a cardiologist. I know what the science says about optimism, and which is it is critical for mental and physical well-being and for fighting disease. There's also another concept, first do no harm. being a good Samaritan is great, but sometimes the best thing to do is to first do no harm. This is something we live off in our medical world. That is also a point I wanted to bring up.
Dr. Arif Ahmed is a writer and cardiologist from Madison. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers are Mallory Chang and John Davis. As always, you can catch us wherever you get your podcasts every single weekday morning. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a rating and review while you're there. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.